Tech started hot, 10-0, out of the blocks. Oklahoma State showed a little fire in the middle of the first half, but Mark Adams' squad overwhelming Oklahoma State. The hottest team in the nation keeps on rolling. 78-57 as Texas Tech follows up its wins over Kansas and Baylor with another victory tonight.
They're the hottest team in America right now, Texas Tech, with big win after big win after big win. And Texas Tech gets another win last night over Oklahoma State by a final score of 78-57. There was another top five upset on the West Coast last night. Earlier this week, number five USC undefeated was upset by Stanford. Last night, Oregon goes to number three UCLA and wins in overtime 84-81. More on the Big 12 and basketball for this weekend, including men's and women's hoops. We'll hear from Bruce Weber and Bill Self. Also coming up, we'll preview the NFL playoffs. We'll hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Mike Tomlin. Chiefs hosting the Steelers, which you can hear on Z96.3 The Lake. And a former Jayhawk doing something that's never been done in the history of the NBA. And I bet Dusty has no idea what I'm talking about.
You would be correct.
Okay, good. He's being honest, because it is something I didn't know until I came across it last night. And I'm like, what are the odds of that happening? And how much research did it take to find this out? Mm-hmm. It's a very unique stat. In fact, I just don't want to hold you in suspense any longer, because I know it's driving people nuts. They want to know. The former Jayhawk that has set a new record in the NBA, and it's a unique record, and it's not a bad record at all, but it's a very unique record. Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, in his last five games, each and every game, you could call him Mr. Consistent. Each and every one of his last five games, he scored exactly 31 points. That has never happened in NBA history, where a guy scored the exact same amount of points five straight games. I'm sure it has, 0-0-0-0.
Yeah.
But 31, no one's ever done that. 31 every game, last five games. So let me do the math. He's averaging 31 points. Yeah. Over his last five games.
Honey, that's an interesting number. It's like an
crazy
odd number,
yeah.
Like 31. Like, you put yourself at 30 or, you know, 35.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, you know,
I think you have 32, 30, 1 9.
31.
Yeah, you think you have 32, make extra free throw or something. Yeah. It's crazy. But, yeah, Embiid, NBA record, five straight games, 31 points exactly in each of the last five games he's played in. And the Sixers won seven in a row, and then they got beat the other day. And the Memphis Grizzlies, we'll get the NBA out of the way quickly here. The Memphis Grizzlies won their 11th in a row last night.
Yeah.
So they're 30-14. So a young team up and coming. And maybe everybody talks about the Warriors and the Suns. Maybe the Grizzlies are the team that we should look out for. They're fun to watch with John Morant. He is a stud. If you've not watched him, you need to. The kid is phenomenal.
Something I can tell you from experience, if that team would make it deep in the playoffs, that arena would be wild.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to tell you right now, because I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been told that OKC and Memphis are two of the best NBA arenas to be in, because it's the closest to college atmosphere of any of the NBA arenas.
Yeah, and I feel like people wouldn't really know that, because Memphis has never really made that kind of run.
Absolutely.
But I was there in a first-round game against the Spurs, and it was a double overtime game, and it was one of the best atmospheres I've ever been a part of. And a lot of people you can't say that a lot about it. Yeah. NBA arenas, even if it is like the Spurs game I went to in the playoffs, it wasn't even close.
Oh,
like,
no, Spurs arena is dead.
Yeah,
and Denver's arena is dead.
It was fun for
dead.
Me to be there as a fan, but the atmosphere wasn't close to the same as it was in Memphis.
I've been to a Pacer game in Indiana. I've been to a Spurs game. I've been to a Nuggets game, and they're all dead.
Yeah.
They're all dead. They had the pipe and the sound of anybody going. Whereas OKC wasn't as bad. It was pretty. It was closer to college atmosphere. I haven't been to Memphis. And, you know, Memphis, they were really good for a while, and people don't realize this. They had Gasol, they had Zach Randolph, they had Mike Conley in his prime. They were really good there for a spell early in Conley's career. So, but then they fell off, and now here we go.
What I'm saying is I think it's a fan base that deserves it.
Yes, I agree. I totally, totally agree with you.
Even, you know, if my team's not doing well, I try to look for other teams that I kind of like to latch on to and I think deserve it, and Memphis is that, I feel like.
No doubt about it. All right, let's jump into the high school sports. Where do you want to begin here today?
I just go through the schedule if that works.
You want to start with basketball schedule and then there's wrestling.
We can do wrestling schedule real quick.
We can do that
too. Get into basketball.
Yep.
Yeah. Wrestling coming up today. The Smith Center team will be at Superior, Nebraska this afternoon and evening, and they'll have to get up in the morning and head to Oberlin coming up tomorrow morning. Osborne will also be competing at Oberlin tomorrow. And then the Beloit Trojans, they'll send their varsity to the Jayhusker Invitational in Marysville on Saturday. So, again, a lot of activity for our area teams coming up this weekend in high school wrestling. If you're ever wondering what the schedule looks like for your favorite wrestling teams. Again, you can always check that out at nckssports.com. And we'll go through the basketball schedule, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the games that are going on our stations as well here today, or on our station and video stream. As it kind of works out, everything's going to be on Kitty Country 94 today as far as the radio is concerned. Northern Plains League Tournament, if you've already printed out the bracket that they released on Wednesday, go ahead and throw that one away.
I think you can do that almost every year.
Yeah, and reprint the new one that we have updated at nckssports.com. Southern Cloud is not able to play in the Northern Plains League Tournament, at least for the first 2 days on today and then Monday. The girls would be scheduled to play Monday in a consolation game. Basically what happens with St. John's Tipton and Southern Cloud girls, and then on the boys' side with Wilson and Southern Cloud, is that it's a no contest, but since Southern Cloud is the one that drops out because of the COVID or health concerns, then the other team gets basically a win, but it's a no contest. It doesn't go as a win or loss on the record, but they do advance in the bracket. So,
how is it a win?
So St. John's Tipton.
So how is it a win?
Because Southern Cloud is the one that dropped out and basically forfeited. But it's not a win on
the record.
Because it's COVID, it's a no contest.
Right.
They're going based on those rules of how that
but that's
was
not a win.
Established, yeah.
If a win, you said it was a win, but it's not a win. So how is it a win? It's not a win because if it doesn't count in the
I
records.
Said it's basically like a win.
Oh, I'm sorry. I
think
that
that's
part.
What I said.
Okay, maybe I misunderstood.
And maybe I, okay. But no, it's basically like a
it's
win, right?
Yes, because you move on.
You move to the
but
next.
But it doesn't count as a W
no,
in your record.
Not, as I said, it will
helps
count
you up. Move on to the next round. So it feels like a win. Yes, I got you.
As I say, it will not count on the record. But you do move forward on the bracket on the winner's side. So. Again, so St. John's Tipton girls will move on to take on the winner of the 5-12 matchup, and then the on the boys' side, Wilson gets that win on the bracket, right?
And
so they move forward to take on Osborne coming up on Monday. So that's kind of the situation with Southern Cloud. So everything basically got moved up at the sites where those games were going to be played. So here's the schedule for today. At 2 o'clock on the girls' side at the grade school, Wilson is taking on Rock Hills. At the high school at 3:30, it's Thunder Ridge against Natoma girls, Tescott against Chase at 3:30 at the grade school. Pike Valley's taking on Lincoln at 6:30 at the grade school, and then that's a look at the girls' bracket. On the boys' side, Lakeside Rock Hills has been moved up to 2 o'clock. They were going to play at 3:30, but that's been moved up to 2 o'clock there at the high school. And then at 5 o'clock at the high school, Pike Valley against Natoma boys, Chase against Lincoln boys at 5 o'clock at the grade school, and then the Thunder Ridge boys will take on Tescott at 6:30 at the high school. So that's a look at the bracket on the boys' side here for today. Again, Lakeside and Rock Hills boys, a 4:13 matchup. That'll be at 2 o'clock at the high school today. A 1:50 pregame on Katy Country 94 and KatyCountry94.com. That will be the one local game that we will have on the radio here for today. It's kind of just the way the bracket fell and as far as our immediate teams that were playing in a game. So we have that game on Katy Country 94. Again, we'll have pregame about 1:50. Tip off 2 o'clock here this afternoon on Katy Country 94 and KatyCountry94.com. And then coming up this evening, we have the Bullet Trojans taking on Minneapolis on Katy Country 94, as well as online video stream on the Bullet Trojan channel at nckssports.com. We'll have pregame coverage beginning at 5:50 for the girls' game and tip off at 6 o'clock. The boys will follow. Again, Wade will be calling the action tonight from Minneapolis and the North Central Activities Association. Really just one other game from the immediate area to let you know about. Concordia is hosting Chapman in the NCKL. Smith Center was supposed to be hosting Republic County, but those games were postponed due to illness at Republic County, so they'll make up those games coming up at a later date, they hope, with Smith Center and Republic County. So look at the schedule for tonight. Again, you can check out nckssports.com for the latest in local sports. Again, we have all the brackets posted for our midseason tournaments that are going to start next week. Mid-Continent League starts on Saturday. The Smith Center boys taking on Hoxie and Stockton tomorrow. You can find all that information, again, at nckssports.com for basketball tournament brackets.
All right. It is a very, very busy weekend, but it's going to get even busier next week, and we hope you appreciate all the coverage, and thanks to our sponsors for making it all possible. So all the brackets are posted there at nckssports.com, like Dusty mentioned. I don't have them all in front of me, but there's this Line Invitational bracket. There's the Halstead Tournament, the Hoisington Winter Jam. I mean, we've got everything. The NPL, the Mid-Continent League, the Orange and Black Classic out in Colby, you name it, we've got it posted there for the area at nckssports.com. All right, the games on the radio tonight we'll focus in on here. Beloit at Minneapolis, girls and boys doubleheader, 5:50 is the pregame. By the way, it's kind of a makeshift schedule tonight. JV girls are going to play at 4:30 in the old gym. The JV boys are going to play at 5:45. I super, super, super love that. That messes me up completely to watch my son play. I am being selfish.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know why we
if you have a normal structure not, normally, and then that changes.
I was told it was going to be 5, then I was told at 5:30, and now it's the worst possible one, 5:45. Mm. My son usually plays his first two quarters of JV, so I thought, okay, 5, can make it work. 5:30, at least get to see a quarter. 5:45, now I'm completely, can't watch any of it. So, anyway, that's life, I guess. It's unfair. So that's the plan now. And the problem, and the reason it's happening is Minneapolis has a lot, have had kids that have been sick, so they didn't know how many quarters they could play at JV. Then another problem is, they have problems getting officials down at Minneapolis. Some places do, some places don't. Mm-hmm. And see, here's where we're going to go down the line in sports. And people don't understand this. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening right now, if you're a parent, you're a fan, or you don't have anybody in sports right now, but you know down the line your kid's going to be in sports, let me prepare you. Let me prepare you. We have an official shortage in high school sports. And it's only going to get worse if parents and fans don't wise up and lay off. And so part of the reason why the schedule the way it is today in Minneapolis is, yes, sickness, this and this, but also part of it is involving officials, from what I understand, as well. And so that obviously is a trickle-down effect and then makes it to where it might be harder for parents and this and that in regards to, oh, these games aren't being played. Why not? Because we don't have enough officials. But I want my kid to really play. But, yeah, but when you have officials and your kid plays, you scream and yell at the official until they almost cry. So, you know, what you need to figure out what you value. So keep that in mind down the line, because we need people to officiate. If you're a young person out there, you can make some decent money officiating. The question is, can you put up with everybody's crap? And that's as clean as I can make it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is what it is. And ladies and gentlemen, officials make mistakes. I'll say things occasionally when I'm watching, but I try not to be too harsh on anybody because I know it's not easy. And I've actually officiated. I did it in intramurals. Officiated town league ball when I was in college, and the guys, these old guys that were, you know, 40 years old or whatever, thinking they were professionals, were not easy to deal with. And I had to throw a couple out of the gym when they started to actually throw a fist at each other. And I was like, after I did all that, I was like, this ain't worth it. So I wasn't something I was going to do down the line in my career. So I have to say, we need to appreciate officials a hell of a lot more than we do now. Mm-hmm. We need to appreciate coaches a lot more, too. There's a shortage of coaches from the standpoint of you're grasping at straws in some cases, just getting somebody to be a Rule 10 coach, or just get somebody that's going to coach, and then somebody coaches, and then there's not enough people to even help the coach, so he's by himself or she's by himself in some schools, and then you get all mad at the coach. Oh, the coach didn't want to really coach, but nobody else would step up to the plate. So we need to appreciate coaches more. We need to appreciate the officials more, no question about it, because without coaches, without officials, you don't have ball games. You don't have games for your children. So keep that in mind. That's my soapbox for today. So anyway, Beloit is in Minneapolis. Sean Arim is head coach of Beloit Lady Trojans. They've lost two in a row after that big upset win over number 4-ranked Phillipsburg earlier here in January. And their problems have been scoring points. Minneapolis, a team that plays really good defense. Coach Remus knows the Lions will bring it on D.
They're pretty good. Their young kids are very talented, I think. And then you throw in Cleveland, who has a lot of experience. And so they're just going to battle hard. I mean, they're going to play good defense. Again, we're going to have to find some ways to score and then stop what they want to do defensively. But we're just going to continue to get better every game. And that's all you can ask with a young team. So we're just going to see what we can control. And hopefully, we'll shoot a little bit better on Friday night and maybe come away with a win.
Last two games for Beloit girls, 33 points against Hoisington, 30, a season low. At Chapman. So, yeah, the offense need to get going again. And if they can get that going, then they should be fine. Their defense has kept them in games. Beloit girls 4-5 against Minneapolis girls, who are 6-3. They've lost their last two. Minneapolis, a very talented team, though, and Coach Weatherman's crew will defend you. There is no doubt about that. Boys game later tonight in Minneapolis. Beloit's the favorite in this one. They're 7-2, winners of 6 in a row. Minneapolis is 2-7. They got a win with just 7 players. Earlier this week at Valley Heights, they had two starters out, other kids out ill. That's part of the reason that we don't know if we're going to play 2, 3, 4 quarters of JV tonight for boys basketball. And so they're just, every day when you come to school nowadays as a coach, an athletic director, you're like, what's the first thing you do? You don't get a cup of coffee. You don't go to the water fountain. What you do is you check the absent list. That's the first thing you do to see, okay, who's going to be in school today so that they can play tonight. And so who knows what Minneapolis has today. And Beloit boys went through it last week. Other schools are going through it. There's schools and games to the east of us that are being postponed for tonight due to people being sick, too many people being sick. They were kicking around yesterday. I know you and I were talking about it, that the NPL was considering canceling their tournament because there was concerns with COVID and illness going around. Now, luckily, they haven't. I'm glad they haven't. I would say you exhaust every resource possible before you cancel a tournament this year after not having one last year. And it's, I'm glad that they're going to move forward with it. But maybe you're going to see as tournaments get going that they're going to have to suddenly say, hey, we limit two fans per participant. Or maybe they ban fans altogether. And then fans and parents will go screaming, oh, bloody murder, that they can't watch their kid, like I whined about a little bit ago. And it'd be like, well, do you want your kids to play or not? Because that might be the only option. Or maybe, you know, if there's problems, say, in Lincoln, they got to move it to the higher seeded site, hosting particular games the rest of the tournament. Whatever you got to do to get the tournament in, as much as you possibly can, you got to explore all those options. I'm sure the NPL has. I'm sure other tournaments have as well. And the last thing you want to do is cancel a tournament, especially because there is no postponing the tournament. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to cancel it. There's no other place to squeeze it in the schedule. You don't want to have to cancel a tournament for two straight years. And the NPL was canceled last year. Mm-hmm. The Orange and Black Classic did happen last year with a few less teams than normal. So the NPL is moving forward, and that's fantastic. But we're going to see this. Minneapolis dealing with this week. Beloit dealt with it last week on the boys' side. The Beloit girls have been, knock on wood, unscathed so far, but everybody's going to deal with it eventually. I just don't think any team's going to get through this with no illnesses and no problems.
Yeah, I mean, the games I've had, I haven't had it on a large scale, but there's been kids that have been out with sickness in each of the last three games that I've done.
Right.
It hasn't been, like, debilitating or anything like that. I mean, it did take out a starter with Lakeside Thunder Ridge. Osborne Thunder Ridge last week, and you know, the two key reserves for the Lakeside girls that weren't there, on Tuesday. And so you are going to see it, and just what's the scale going to be, and how do you move forward? Do you just go ahead and play the games, or, you know, Southern Cloud can't play. I mean, they had three girls and three boys in school yesterday.
Yeah.
So that were on the teams, so that's not enough to play. No. So, you know, you got to move forward what's best for you and how you feel you can.
Right. So Beloit Minneapolis boys tonight, as I mentioned, Minneapolis boys are 2-7. They've been dealing with some sickness. Beloit boys dealt with it last week. They're 7-2. On paper, it looks like Beloit should win this game. The thing is, Minneapolis is a lot like the Beloit boys last year. They lost a ton of seniors from the prior year. They went to the sub-state finals last year at Minneapolis. Very talented, had three all-leaguers. They've all graduated. They had another freshman starter that he transferred to Bennington. So they are very bare when it comes to varsity experience. They don't have much size. Their biggest guy broke his hand in football, so he's not playing until mid-February. So they are a smaller team. So what do? Well, similar to what Beloit did last year, where they're a very young and inexperienced team. They did have Beisner inside at 6'4 or whatever, but he was still a freshman. Had to, you know, develop his game, and he's improved so much that he's Athlete of the Week this week, ncksports.com, having a great year. But Beloit basically was first open shot, take it, because it was hard to get into your offense against teams with all this experience. Now Beloit's improved and matured and more physical a year later, and they're off to a great start. Minneapolis is going to do the same thing Beloit did to an extent last year. Beloit last year, the boys shot 53% of their attempts for beyond the three-point line. Let me repeat that. Over half their shots were threes. Now, that's probably not the greatest shot selection. However, that was their best chance to score and win. And if they were hitting a lot of threes, they had a chance to win. If they were missing, they were in trouble. That's exactly what Minneapolis is right now. Minneapolis boys, this is crazy statistics. The Minneapolis boys are shooting 51% of their attempts are from three. They shoot 26 times a game from three. They're hitting about seven per game. But here's a crazy stat. What happens when you shoot a lot of threes, Dusty, and the other team, like, gets it inside? What's a big difference statistically that happens when you're pounding it inside versus just jacking jumpers? You go to the foul line.
Well,
you
go to the foul line.
You get the ball inside. You drive it. You throw it inside. You get to the foul line. When you settle for jumpers, you're not going to get fouled on three-point shots very often. Here's a crazy statistic I found yesterday. We've only played 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
The Minneapolis boys' opponents have shot 125 more free throws and made 81 more free throws. Every team they play gets +9 before the game begins in made free throws, in essence.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to beat teams when you never get to the line. Beloit didn't get to the line a lot last year either. It is hard to – can you win a game here and there shooting threes? Yes. You can win a couple games in a row.
This is just like,
but you live and die by the three because
you're not
getting free points. You're not getting free points. You need to get free points. You got to get to the line. And, you know, how many times do we see big games and people whine about, oh, well, okay, you had 28 made free throws. K-State had 9. Well, no wonder we lost. Well, yeah, 19 free throws is a huge difference at any level of basketball. So Minneapolis, and I remember talking coaches when they were preparing for the Beloit boys last year, and they went 5-13. You know the first thing they said? Well, they're young, but they're scary because they can make threes and get hot. That's exactly what Minneapolis is like this year. If they start making threes and get hot, they build confidence, and they are dangerous, according to head coach Ryan Eilert.
They're a scrappy group, but they always – defensively play hard, and they're a team that shoots a lot of threes, and if they get hot from the three-point line, you know, they can be trouble. And so we've got to come out and defend the three-point line, and then offensively, we've got to continue to swing the ball, turn down the first contested shot and get somebody else a wide open shot, and just improve on things like that.
So Beloit, Minneapolis, girls and boys, tonight on Kitty Country 94 and kittycountry94.com. A live video stream at ncksports.com, the Beloit Trojan Channel, starting at about 5:50 tonight from Minneapolis. Before we jump into hearing from Drew Dusky and Zach Duffy for the Rock Hills Lakeside matchup of the NPL tournament today, I have somebody, I don't know who it is, but they texted me, so they have my number. I don't recognize their number. They say, we were talking about officiating, right?
Mm-hmm.
This person says, I reffed for 10 years. That's a decade. That's a long time. I reffed for 10 years, started while I was in college, could always handle getting yelled at better than most other refs. But after a junior high girls basketball tournament. Now, let me repeat that. After a junior high girls basketball tournament, he says, I had a parent try to fight me in the parking lot after a game, so I said that was enough. I don't get paid enough to keep doing this while I'm spending time away from my family. See, that parent that did that in the parking lot wanting to fight, and their other parents do it, you have lost all sense of reality. And you are the problem. The problem aren't officials missing calls. The problem are people like that that are driving people out of the profession. And it's happening more and more than people even realize. I think we're pretty fortunate in our area that I don't see people wanting to fight officials. But I do know of fans that use horrible language. People heard it over the air when Hoisington, a guy that was ridiculous, just embarrassing. And maybe every fan base has one of those people at one point or another. But we've got to stop and understand, if you think you can do such a better job, then go grab a whistle. And trust me, volunteer right now. You can ref JV games without officiating experience. We'll take you. Throw a referee black and white stripe on and call the game if you think you're so much better at it. Because you know who's the greatest person ever to referee a basketball game? Is the person sitting on the couch or in the stands. You know the best coach that's ever lived is the person that sits in the stands and never goes to practice. Those are the greatest coaches of all time. Everybody knows that. They're the greatest refs of all time. So please keep that in mind. And I will too. I have to. There's times I get fired up as a fan or this or that, or even on a broadcast, like, ooh, that was a questionable call. That probably should have gone the other way. But I'm not going to throw the refs under the bus and say they're horrible and should quit. Because no. We can't have guys quitting. We can't have we need ladies and guys to officiate and coach. That would be helpful too. So I thank that person for sharing that. And that is very disturbing. And you may say, well, why do you stress the junior high girls basketball tournament? Why is that any different than high school or college? Well, it really shouldn't be really way different. But the fact is, if it's that serious at the junior high level, God, imagine what that parent's going to be like in the high school and in the college. That person's going to get ejected multiple times, and they deserve to. I mean, a junior high girls basketball tournament, and you're in the parking lot wanting to fight to an official because they messed up a call? That's just flat out, just, it's pathetic. It's what it is. We've lost our minds.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Lost our minds. All right, Lakeside Rock Hills boys today. We get the one game on the radio from the NPL tournament, as you mentioned, 1:50 pregame, tip-off at 2 o'clock. We're going to hear from Drew Dusky now, the head coach of Lakeside, on his team just focusing on the task at hand.
They're struggling right now. They're young, and you know they lost a lot of talent from last year's team. But you know we're going into the game. We've got to stay focused and make sure we go in and we're just playing good basketball. And we can't get lackadaisical. I mean, I think on paper your people are assuming we should win the game. But we just got to go in and do the things offensively that we're doing well and try to play good defense and work on things that we're probably going to need to work on and do well in the coming games of the tournament.
Zach Duffy, his first year head coach for the Rock Hills Grizzly boys, has noticed the improvement Lakeside has had.
They really look like they're kind of starting to peak at kind of the right time around NPL and going into the later half of the season. Obviously, I know the Cunningham kid and the Shone kid are both great players, and and they're just super well coached, and we'll have to take care of the ball and limit turnovers and just make sure that we're playing hard on the defensive end and getting every rebound. And so we'll look forward to the challenge.
All right, quick thoughts on your game today, and then of course we'll have many more games, hopefully, coming up next Monday, Tuesday, and Friday for the NPL tournament in Lincoln.
Yeah, like Drew Dusky said, you know, on paper it's clearly a team or a game where Lakeside is definitely a heavy favorite here, and Rock Hills knows that coming in. One of the things that I will say about Rock Hills, I did see him against St. John's Tipton, and it's a group that's very, very young. They don't have hardly any experience at all coming in this season, but they're learning, and there was some potential there that I saw for sure against St. John's Tipton. So I think once these kids get under Coach Duffy's system and start learning more about what it takes to win games at this level, that they're going to actually be pretty improved and a pretty good team down the road. But that's just not the case right now for them. And I think everybody knows that going into this game. And Lakeside's playing their best basketball that they've played all season, as Coach Duffy talked about. So they're playing really, really well offensively right now, Lakeside is. So it's definitely an uphill battle for Rock Hills, and Lakeside's the favorite here. But again, that's why you go out and play the games. And if Rock Hills could somehow get hot and start knocking down some shots, we could make it a game here today. So again, that's going to start pregame at 1:50, tip off at 2 o'clock on Katy Country 94, the Rock Hills and Lakeside boys. And yeah, coming up next week, Monday will be the quarterfinals of the tournament, and then Tuesday will be semifinals, and then championship third place games and fifth place, seventh place, all that will take place on Friday of next week. So don't know all the matchups yet until we get through today, and we'll have a game plan of what we're going to be doing on Monday as well. So always be checking ncksports.com for that also.
Yeah, next week, one of the busiest weeks of the year for us. We'll also have coverage and updates from the Bullet Wrestling Invitational interspersed with our basketball coverage Friday and then Saturday of next weekend. Also, we'll have Bullet Girls Boys Basketball on the radio and video streaming from Colby to Orange and Black Classic next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, weather permitting and not too much illness and everything else. Yeah. I mean, we're all sitting here just kind of on pins and needles a little bit, I think, in regards to are we going to...
It's a day by day.
Yeah.
There's no question.
No doubt.
Some places it's hour by hour.
Yes.
But for us, anyway, our plans, it's day by day for sure.
Absolutely. All right, the NFL playoffs this weekend, the Chiefs, we were hoping to have a first-round bye, but that went by the wayside when they lost to the Bengals in Week 17, and then last week beat the Broncos. Chiefs are 12-5. The Steelers 8-7-1, or 9-7-1, I should say. They got in with an overtime win over the Ravens and then got some help, of course, with the Chargers losing to the Raiders. 6 o'clock pregame Sunday night, kickoff at 7:15 on Z96.3 The Lake. You're home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas. It's a rematch of a game played the day after Christmas, December 26th, where the Chiefs manhandled the Steelers. 36-10 was the final score. The Chiefs didn't have Travis Kelce, who was out due to COVID-19 protocols. Tyreek Hill barely played. Byron Pringle had a big game. The Chiefs moved the ball around. Mahomes is one of his better games of his career, I would say, based on the weapons he didn't have. The Chiefs ran the ball well. Steelers aren't very good against the run, and the Steelers didn't do anything offensively. Juju Smith-Schuster practiced for the first time since Week 5 yesterday, so maybe that's an extra weapon for Pittsburgh. Claypool's the guy you worry about making some great catches, but Roethlisberger's kind of a dead duck in the pocket, can't move around as much as he once did, and I think that, for me, the Chiefs want to play guys that like to stand in the pocket. Now, granted, Tom Brady stood in the pocket last year for the Buccaneers, but the Bucs have an outstanding offensive line. But normally when the Chiefs play against guys that are just stay-in-the-pocket quarterbacks, the Chiefs usually can pin them in, don't have to worry about these guys running for first downs, and they usually do pretty well against these type of quarterbacks. And so they get Roethlisberger here. The Steelers aren't great at running the ball. And then, as I mentioned, the Chiefs are, you know, they've run the ball effectively this year. They just sometimes maybe give up on it too soon. And Pittsburgh is really not good against the run. T.J. Watt, he should be healthier. He had a rib injury in that game. He's healthier. He tied the NFL record for sacks in the season. More on him in a moment. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes. So it's an interesting matchup. They'll have their tight end, Pat Freiermuth, back, who's an outstanding tight end. Young guy out of Penn State for Pittsburgh. He missed the last game as well against the Chiefs. But here's Andy Reid on the game plan preparation. You know, the Chiefs have made the Super Bowl the last 2 years. They've been in the AFC title game the last 3 years, but every single one of those years, they had a first-round bye. Of course, the NFL changed the rules before last year, where only one team gets a bye, and the Chiefs happened to get that number one seed last year when they expanded the playoffs of 7 teams in each conference. Here's Andy Reid on the game plan prep for the Steelers coming up on Sunday night.
You definitely understand that it's single elimination. And so when you go through, you're going to do what you think is best. You're going to narrow it down to that team, what you think is best, and then run it. It doesn't really matter if it's offense, defense, special teams. It doesn't matter. Right now, it's just all Pittsburgh. So, you know, it takes every bit of effort that you have to make sure you're ready for for this football team. And they're a good football team.
You know, Melvin Ingram had the big play against the Broncos last week. The great hit on Melvin Gordon forced the fumble, returned 86 yards for a touchdown by Nick Bolton, and the Chiefs end up winning the game 28-24. Ingram, we talked about his presence and what he's meant to this team since he came over midway through the season as the Steelers had him on their roster, and he wasn't happy, and the Steelers really weren't happy with playing him a lot either. He just didn't fit in what they wanted to do. So they traded him to the Chiefs for a six-round draft pick. Chiefs fans are ecstatic that they have Melvin Ingram. Steelers are like, listen, he wasn't going to play for us anyway, so we got a six-round pick, so we're happy too. Here's Patrick Mahomes on Melvin Ingram and his impact on the team as Ingram goes against his former team for a second time in a span of about 3 weeks.
He's definitely a leader. I mean, he's someone that's he's a vet. He understands how to play the game. He knows how to play it the right way. And I mean, he's a mismatch out there. I mean, he's just as good in the run as he is against the pass. And so he can play every single down. He can go out there and play with his presence, kind of bring everybody along. And he's been a great addition to the D-line room.
Mahomes has had his way with the Steelers the last couple times he's faced them first year as a starter, lit him up in Pittsburgh, and of course played almost flawlessly against Pittsburgh on December the 26th. The Steelers do have a pass rush with Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt. They have a decent defense. It's not great. It's not good against the run at all. And Watt and Hayward are the two guys that usually, if you can somehow block them, then you're going to have a lot of success against the Steelers. Here's Mahomes on T.J. Watt and that Steelers defense.
He's a special player. I don't know what runs in that family, but they have great football players over there. And you said it. I mean, T.J.'s not only special as far as the way he can bend and get to the quarterback, but the effort that he plays with. They have a lot of guys like that over there. Cam Hayward, Highsmith. I mean, they have a lot of guys that play hard the entire game. They continuously play and go. And so for me, it's about whenever I do make those extended long plays, not making a bad play happen. I mean, those guys will be kind of around me the whole time as far as following the play. So don't when I kind of scramble up and I step up in the pocket when stuff's not there, I have to make sure I account for them because I know they're not going to give up on the play.
I saw some stat that Mahomes in home playoff games in Kansas City hasn't thrown an interception. He's played a lot of home playoff games when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, his first year, he played two home games. He went 1-1, beat the Colts, lost to the Patriots, and if Dee Ford's not offsides, you'd maybe win that. Well, you would have won the game. And then, of course, the next year, you're down 24-0 to the Texans, and it wasn't Mahomes throwing picks that got him in trouble. Hill muffed a punt return, and there was all kinds of stuff. And so they were down 24-0, came back, won that game. Then they beat the Titans in the AFC title game, and that was at home, of course, and he played well in that game, as we know. And then, of course, last year, you had the Browns at home, and then you had the Bills at home, and they blew the Bills out in that one. And Patrick Mahomes has never played a road playoff game yet in his NFL career. He's had neutral site games, obviously, two Super Bowls, 1-1 in those. He has thrown interceptions in the Super Bowl.
Yes, he was on – I don't think you count it as a road game, the same road game at Tampa, but Tampa wasn't –
Well, yeah,
field,
I mean, but there were limited fans. So
it
wasn't
the same kind of road game that you would play in a normal playoff game.
Yeah, true. It was classified as a neutral game.
Yeah.
Here's Mahomes on what he expects from the Steelers' defense Sunday night.
Obviously, they're going to take away the stuff that they did good against us, and then they're going to try to change stuff that they didn't have as much success with. They have a lot of good, really good coaches over there. They have a lot of really good players, and they've played in playoff games. They understand that how to change stuff up. They understand to go back to what they're great at. So we're expecting a battle. We'll be ready to go, and we're going to try to find answers for everything because they're going to throw all different pitches to us, and we have to be able to respond and have success as much as possible.
Now, Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Steelers, and listen, I would play for Mike Tomlin any day of the week. I think he's a really good coach. I think Steeler fans are absolutely insane to want to get rid of him. There are some that do. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's never had a losing season, for crying out loud. He's always got you contending. He's got an old quarterback. He isn't the GM. They need to draft a young quarterback. I mean, them and the Broncos have got to find their franchise quarterback and build around him instead of settling for Mason Rudolph to always be the backup. And Big Ben, you know, finally is going to hang it up after this year. But I will tell you this. This is one of the reasons why I'm a little bit concerned about the game. Not a lot, but a little bit, is because I will never underestimate Mike Tomlin. Here's him in the rematch, because he says, listen, we did not prepare well the first time around. That'll be different this time.
We've been to Kansas City very recently. They handled us and handled us definitively. And so we understand that. But at the same time, we're not paralyzed by that. We accept that we didn't play well enough last time. We accept that we didn't plan well enough last time. But that's last time. And we're excited about the process of readiness this time. Putting together a better plan, putting our guys in position to make make more consistent plays, particularly in a weighty moment, situational ball, and going in and playing.
The Chiefs are 11.5 to 12-point favorite in this one. I haven't seen anybody really picking the Steelers to win this game. I am just absolutely blown away, though, by I will say, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm jealous. I'm jealous that I can't be one of the talking heads on national television, and that I can't even be Phil Simms, who gets paid a lot of money to be on a pregame and postgame and halftime and talk for 2 minutes every show. And Phil Simms, I think, was a pretty good analyst when he was color commentator. Now he's in studio. And Phil Simms said the other day, nobody wants to play the Steeler team. They pay you money for this crud? Like, what are you watching? Like, even Steeler fans know they're not any good. I mean, I watched them in person. The Steelers last week scored 16 points and barely were able to win against a Ravens secondary that's beat up and a backup quarterback. I mean, the Steelers haven't had an impressive win for a while. You know, they beat the Titans. Well, they won that game because the Titans turned the ball over four times.
Yeah.
The Titans beat themselves. I remember watching the Bills and the Steelers week one in Buffalo. Steelers got like 30 yards of offense first half. I mean, it's been consistently bad all year long. Second half, they put together a couple of drives. The Bills turned it over. And that's the only way the Chiefs lose this game Sunday night. There's two ways, actually. One, a ton of injuries. Mm-hmm. Or two, they turn it over a lot. And I just don't think that's going to happen, and I don't think Pittsburgh can score enough points. But it's amazing to me that these people, and there's all kinds of montages. The Chiefs put another one together yesterday of all these people, all these talking heads, Michael Irvin, Colin Cowherd, and Stephen A. Smith, and Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp, and all these guys that just completely wrote off the Chiefs and said all these crazy things to get people's attention, and now they look like complete and utter morons, and yet they get paid to be that. And they do it on purpose just to get people riled up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they truly believe it. But then, of all people, a studio analyst on CBS that they cover the AFC, and Phil Simms watches Steeler football all year long, and he's telling me that nobody wants to play the Steelers now? Are you kidding me? Everybody in the AFC, if they had the play, would have picked the Steelers to play of any other team. It's not even close.
No.
Not even close. So I'm like, what do you watch and why do you get paid the money you get paid? I can give better analysis. And please, I'll take half of his salary. I'll save you money. And I will be happy to give you more better analysis than the Steelers or a team you don't want to face. And he may sit here and brag about it if the Steelers upset the Chiefs. Still doesn't mean he was right, because the Chiefs aren't sweating the Steelers. Why would they? They beat them by 26 2 weeks ago.
The Chiefs want to play the Steelers.
Heck yeah.
I don't know. I can't speak for everybody else, because I'm not inside their minds and things like that. But when you beat a team 36-10 3 weeks ago, I think I'll play them again.
Heck yeah, I would too.
I feel like I'd rather play them than play the Raiders for a third time this season.
Or a Chargers. You know,
play the Chargers.
Or the Colts. Or
whoever's, you know, the possibility to play there.
I would have been more worried about the Dolphins than the Steelers.
Yeah.
I'd been more worried about the Ravens than the Steelers, to be honest with you. Now watch, I've jinxed myself and the Chiefs will lose to the Steelers, and then my Steeler fans will come out of the closet and start clamoring they're great after they said their team sucks all year long. That's how fans are, but I expect it, but I don't expect it. I think the Chiefs will win. Chiefs and Steelers, pregame 6 o'clock Sunday night, kickoff 7:15. You can listen to it on Z96.3 The Lake. The rest of the playoff picture: the Raiders are in Cincinnati, take on the Bengals. This is a tough game for me to pick. I think a lot of people would say, well, Cincinnati, they're explosive, they're rested. But this Raider team's got some spunk. It's at 3:30. Neither team has really playoff experience. Derek Carr's never played in the playoffs. Remember, they made it a few years back, and he got hurt the final regular season game, and they had to go with a third-string quarterback, and they lost in the playoffs. Cincinnati hosting Vegas. Cincinnati is a 6 to 7 point favorite, depending on your sports books. Who do you like in this one? Bengals, Raiders. Raiders are the 5. The Bengals are the 4. 3:30 is the start time coming up tomorrow. That's the first of all the wild card games this weekend, and that will be on NBC.
I'm going to be lazy and pick the Bengals to win.
You know, I'm cheering for the Raiders to win, because I think the Bengals are more of a threat to the Chiefs than the Raiders, obviously. And if the Patriots beat the Bills, the Raiders would come to KC next week. And we said we don't want to necessarily play a team 3 times. I would rather play the Raiders a 3rd time at home than play the Bengals a 2nd time after we lost to the Bengals. I know the Chiefs can beat the Bengals. I'm not freaking out scared of the Bengals. But if I had to pick which one I'd rather play, it'd be the Raiders. Now, of course, if the Bills win over the Patriots and the Raiders beat the Bengals, the Raiders go to the Titans, and then I'd want the Bengals to win because I don't think the Raiders can win in Tennessee. That's just my opinion. And then the Bills would come to Kansas City, so I'm conflicted. You see how that goes, right?
Yeah.
I want the Raiders to win. Oh, no, the Bills won. Well, I really wish the Bengals would have won. They'd give the Titans a better game. So, because I want the Chiefs to host the AFC title game.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to still cheer for the Raiders. That sounds weird. I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm actually going to probably pull. Well, yeah. For the betterment of the Chiefs' sake, I think I'm going to cheer for the Raiders to win that game.
Yeah.
But I like Joe Burrow a lot.
Yeah.
I said he'd be great.
I'm kind of in my mind. It's kind of where it was last week, right? Like, I can't even think about the next games. Man, I just got to
get by the first
I'm focused on just winning the game that's in front of you.
We take it one game at a time.
And I know as broadcasters and analysts or whatever we're doing here, we can look ahead and see all those matchups. But for me, it's just like I'm not automatically just putting the Chiefs in the AFC Championship.
Oh, I'm not either.
We gotta worry about that divisional game first if we get there, and then we'll find out where the Chiefs are playing and all that after that. I mean, it's tough right now. People asking me, what do you think about the Steelers? I was like, we'll beat them by 26 the first time, but it's like any team in this playoff can beat the Chiefs, and the Chiefs can beat any team.
Well, I'd argue the Chiefs can beat themselves.
Yeah.
I don't see the Steelers winning. I don't see it. I really, really hope that doesn't happen. It's the next round that I'm worried about because, I mean, I will say this. We talked about it the last few years when the Chiefs have made their runs. The teams they lose to in the regular season are the teams they beat in the playoffs. And they're playing the Steelers, who they just beat by a lot, worries me a little bit because maybe the Chiefs overlook them, even though they say the right things. The Bills, if the Bills win against the Patriots tomorrow night at 7:15 on CBS, if the Bills win, the Bills will be coming to Kansas City as long as the Chiefs don't get upset. And that's a tough divisional game. And the Bills beat the Chiefs pretty good early in the year. The Bills are a team that concerns me because of Josh Allen's mobility. That worries me. So I think that's going to be a tough game for the Chiefs. If the Bills lose to the Patriots and then the Bengals beat the Raiders, then I'm worried about the Bengals coming to town. Now, I know the Chiefs can beat the Bengals, but they haven't this year. Once again, it'd be a rematch of a team they lost to. But the Bengals have the firepower to stay with the Chiefs. Of all the teams in the playoffs, the team that has the most firepower offensively, that's the Bengals. The Bills don't have as much firepower. So they've got better receivers, the Bengals do. So they have confidence they already beat the Chiefs. They'll have confidence winning a playoff game if they would play the Chiefs in the divisional round or even the AFC title game. So and when I look at it, that divisional round, more than likely the Chiefs are going to have to play the Bills or the Bengals. The only way they wouldn't is if the Raiders beat the Bengals and the Patriots beat the Bills in Buffalo and then the Patriots go to Tennessee and then the Raiders come to Kansas City, and that would be super. I'd be cool with that. Sunday, by the way, Patriots-Bills, let me look at the odds here. Bills are a four-point favorite. Who do you like in that one?
What's the weather supposed to be
not
like
good.
In Buffalo?
They say Josh Allen's got bad numbers in cold. Yeah. They drafted him because he played at Wyoming, and they figured, hey, he can run the ball. And actually, he said yesterday, or he told somebody the other day, that the reason they were asked him, why do you think you struggle in the cold? He said, my feet are always so cold. And he runs around a lot. And so he just doesn't perform as well in the cold. That's crazy. He's a Buffalo quarterback. So they said the key is to keep his feet warm, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And the last time they played in horrible weather, Patriots won, throwing what, one, two, three passes?
Three passes. Mac Jones threw three passes, and they won.
Yeah.
Listen,
I wouldn't be surprised if
the Patriots
win. They're
going to do the same thing. If it's going to be bad weather again and those teams are going to try to do the same type of thing, then I'm going to pick the Patriots to win. Buffalo handicaps themselves. They can't be what they are.
And the Bills aren't known as a great running team. Patriots can pound it at you. Yeah.
I'm going to pick the Patriots.
All right. I'll ride that wagon. I'll take the Patriots as well. We're both taking Bengals then?
Yeah, I'm taking Bengals,
Sunday, playoff games, the Eagles at the Buccaneers. I think this is going to be a much tougher game for the Buccaneers than some people think. That's going to be at noon on Fox. The Eagles are an improved team. The only thing is Jalen Hurts against that Buccaneer defense, which isn't what it once was. They've got all kinds of injuries. Although the Bucs are supposed to have Leonard Fournette back and a couple other guys on defense. And the Bucs are an 8.5-point favorite. I'll take the Buccaneers to win. I don't think Tom Brady's going to lose to a 7 seed in the first round of the playoffs, but I do think this is going to be a dogfight. I'll take the Bucs, and I think they find a way to win at the end.
Yeah, I'll pick the Buccaneers, but the Eagles to cover.
Gotcha. Okay, 3:30 on Sunday, because we got a triple header on Sunday in the playoffs on CBS. It's the 49ers at the Cowboys. This is a very intriguing game to me. Listen, the Cowboys, and this is nothing against the Cowboys, I've watched them play quite a bit. I've watched the Niners play some this year too. And the Niners were my pick before the season to make a deep run. They were, because I know they play defense, they've got a good running game. The key for the Niners was to stay healthy and then Garoppolo make plays. Garoppolo made plays against the Rams to get him in the playoffs. I mean, he made plays last week. And he's playing with a torn ligament in his thumb. And he's got a chip fracture in his thumb. And yet he did all that. The Niners have a lot of confidence. The Cowboys, you know what their record is against winning teams this year? 6-5. They're 6-0 against the NFC East, which is horrible, and they outscored the NFC East on average 22 points a game. The last test the Cowboys had, Arizona came in. Arizona was struggling, and Arizona shut down the Cowboy offense. And the Cowboys lost to Arizona a few weeks ago in Dallas. I don't care where this game is played. The Cowboys offense, well, they're the number one scoring offense in the league. They're great on offense. No, they're not. One of the most misleading stats in the NFL this year is the Cowboys have the number one offense. That's not – it's very, very, very misleading. They scored 50-some against the Washington football team that had a whole bunch of guys out with COVID. They scored 51 against the Eagles' backups. And in between, you know what they did against the Cardinals? Not much.
Yeah.
They have no Michael Gallup. He's out with a torn ACL. Cooper is – it looks like he's good to go. Lamb is good. And Elliott isn't the same player he once was. Pollard missed last week. He'll be back, and he's the better running back anyway. The Cowboys' defense – everybody talks about the Cowboys' defense has improved. It didn't look awesome against the Cardinals. But it looks great against the Eagles and the Giants and the Redskins. Well, of course it does. Those teams suck. They're not good. And if you beat up on those teams, you get half of your wins against a bad division. And give the Cowboys credit. They took care of those teams with ease. But against all these other teams, they talked about it when Dallas came to Kansas City. If Dallas wants to be considered a real legitimate Super Bowl contender, these are the types of games they need to win. And when they get in these situations, they'll play teams close. They played the Buccaneers close in week one. The Cardinals, they battled back and made it close, but they were down most of that game. And the Niners are a really good team. I'm picking the Niners to win this game against Dallas. And once again, Jerry Jones will whine and moan. And I'll tell you another reason why they're going to lose. Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy, somehow, with all the years he had with Aaron Rodgers, could only make one Super Bowl. One! As a six seed! I don't think home field matters in this either. And I've got the Niners winning, and the Cowboys are a three-point favorite. And that basically means it's a push, because the home team usually gets 3 points.
Cowboys were shut out for three quarters at home against the Broncos.
Yes.
We were talking about how good their offense is.
The Broncos have one of the best defenses in the league.
They do. And they scored 9 points against the Chiefs, right?
Right.
And so three field goals, never got into the end zone. And so, you know, against teams that are going to play them tough. And
they have not fared well.
Be good defensively. They're not – that offense is not the best in the NFL.
No, not at all.
And so, yeah, I'm picking the 49ers to win. I was picking them before we even started talking about that, before you even presented what you had, because I feel like the 49ers have what it takes defensively to hold them in check. And – that's why I'm picking the 49ers.
Listen, if they would have played the Cardinals, I would have picked the Cardinals to win. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the Cowboys' schedule, okay? At Tampa Bay was their best offensive performance against a really good team. Think about this. Look at this. At the Chargers, they only scored 20, and they won. Eagles, 41. And I did say all the NFC East, they all stink. The Eagles are in the playoffs. The Eagles are much better now than they were early in the year. So I should – let me back up on that comment just a moment. The Eagles aren't a horrible team, but they weren't good early in the year. Cowboys scored 41 in Week 3 against the Eagles. They had 36 against Carolina. Carolina was bad. The Giants, 44. Giants are horrible. They did score 35 against New England. That might be their best offensive performance this year against a really good team. Minnesota, they scored 20. Denver looked horrible, had 0 points through three quarters, scored 16 late. Atlanta's horrible. They won 40. They got 43. They scored only 9 against the Chiefs. Vegas, they scored 33 and lost, and they scored some points late in that game. But that was a back-and-forth, really good game. The Saints, 27. They're not great. Washington, 27. The Giants, 21. The second time played, the Giants only scored 21. The Washington football team, 56 when they're all banged up. 22 against Arizona. Had to score points late to rally to make it interesting. And 51 against the Eagles' backups. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at what this great offense has done against really good teams or good defenses, and the answer is the Patriots in week 6, which was 12 weeks ago. It's not overly impressive, but yet people say they're number one offense because they scored the most points. Well, when you inflate your numbers by scoring, you know, 40-plus points against everybody in your own division, that is misleading.
Absolutely it is.
So we got the Niners winning there. The Steelers are at the Chiefs. We both have the Chiefs winning, of course. Mm-hmm. And then the Monday night game, I was worried the Chiefs would be put on Monday Night Football and have a short week next week, but it's the Cardinals at the Rams.
Basketball on Monday for me.
Yeah, no kidding. Cardinals at the Rams, that's an intriguing game. You know, I think a lot of people think the Rams can make a run and get to the Super Bowl, and I think they have the talent to do it. The Cardinals are hard to figure out. Like, they play really pretty well against the good teams and don't play well against the bad teams. Have you noticed that with the Cardinals?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they haven't played well lately, but they raised their game and played extremely well against the Cowboys on the road. And then last week laid an egg against the 6-10, 6-11 Seahawks team. So I almost expect the Cardinals to somehow find a way to win this game. And you know what? I'm going to go on a crazy limb. I'm going to say the Cardinals do win this game. I mean, the Cardinal fans, if they can travel like the 49er fans, it'll be a home game. Because the Rams fans, did you hear about that after the game? Sean McVay and Matt Stafford said, we had problems hearing. We didn't anticipate that many 49er fans here. That was a home game, and they couldn't hear.
Yeah.
It's not a home field advantage for the Rams, even though that's where the Super Bowl is going to be on February 13th. I will pick the upset there, and the Rams are 4-point favorite. I'll take the Cardinals and Kyler Murray being the difference, and they beat the Rams with all their high-priced talent and all the guys they traded for, so they mortgaged the future. They're not even going to get out of the first round. That's my prediction.
I saw a tweet like Cliff Kingsbury's teams finished like an average like 1-4 or 1-5 in their last games, and so they haven't finished great.
They haven't been in the playoffs either.
And so I'm going to pick the Rams. Should be a very good game, but I'll pick the Rams to win.
So we agree on everything except for that one.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be this primetime Monday night game, 7:15 Cardinals at the Rams. So those are the odds in the games in the NFL playoffs this weekend. Dusty, I'm really, really disappointed in myself. I want to be a football coach. I want to be an NFL football coach or a college football coach because I can be really, really bad at my job and still get paid a lot of money to stink. Is there any other profession in America where you can stink so bad? I guess if you get a guaranteed sports contract, you can stink so bad and still get your guaranteed money, mm-hmm. I guess. But I think that requires a ton of work. Obviously, getting to be a head coach in NFL or college football, that requires a lot of work, so don't get me wrong. But I want to get to where I'm good enough to be a coach, and I can get paid a ton of money to go away. Greg Marshall got paid a lot of money to go away, by the way, in basketball, but he had a good career as Wichita State's coach. Here's the latest one. David Coley, 66 years old, NFL assistant since 1994, got his first head coaching opportunity with the Texans this year. It lasted one season. Houston went 4-13. They played hard there at the end of the season, though. They did. Had a couple of good wins against good teams. Didn't mean anything. Deshaun Watson didn't have the star quarterback all year long because of his off-the-field issues and court problems and legal problems. He had to go with, think about this for a second. David Coley had to go with Tyrod Taylor, got hurt right off the bat. Then he had Davis Mills, who had no experience. And his team was 4-13, which isn't great. But he never had any kind of regular starting quarterback. And, oh, by the way, his best defensive player was a malcontent, and he kicked him off the team, which good for him. And they still almost beat the Titans at the end of the season. And his reward is you're fired. But here's the good thing for David Coley. He's fired, and he could easily, if Eric Bieniemy leaves the Chiefs for a head coaching job, there's talk that David Coley could come in and help with the offense for the Chiefs, which would make sense. He used to coach with Andy Reid, their friends, so forth and so on. David Coley coached for one season as a head coach with the Texans. And now the former Houston Texans coach, as he was fired yesterday, will get $17 million over the next 3 years. In all, David Coley will make $22 million for one season of work. How can I not get a job like that? I mean, in America, it's like, well, you got to be really, really good. You got to be successful to make it in this world financially. Not if I'm an NFL coach. I got to be good enough to get there. But then I can stink at it. I can be really good enough to get there and then stink at college football or college basketball, pro football, pro basketball, and I can get all the money in the world. Like, why, to me, that just encourages you to be like, you know what? It ain't going well, and I'm really tired of this whole thing, and I'm not doing well, and who cares? I know somebody else will hire me because I'm a good assistant. I'm not made to be a head coach. I hope they fire me. I get all my money anyway.
Yeah.
It's great to be David Coley today. Oh, what do you mean? You got fired. Got 22 million reasons why he's okay.
$22 million and has no more pressure on him.
And by the way, then he makes more money when he is an assistant with another team. He gets money on top of that.
Double dipping, yeah.
He's
sure.
Double dipping, you know, like Rick Pitino did and other coaches have done in sports. All right, college basketball this weekend. Number 9, KU is hosting West Virginia. This is a game that I think KU fans are overlooking. And you better hope KU players aren't overlooking. I know Bill Self isn't overlooking it. West Virginia is 13-2. We talked with Brian Haney yesterday, the voice of the Jayhawks. He said people are sleeping on West Virginia. They're 13-2. They're 2-1 in the Big 12. KU's 2-1 Big 12. KU's 13-2. 1 o'clock pregame. Excuse me. 1 o'clock tip off. Pregame at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon on Z96.3 The Lake. And for KU, they're going to see pressure from West Virginia, and they're not at full strength. And Bill Self says we've got to get healthy to deal with teams that play really good pressure defense.
They're going to pressure the crap out of. We need Remy to get healthy. I mean, let's just call it like it is. We need him. I mean, that's hard to play against teams that press and pressure with one guard.
It absolutely is. And you look at the Big 12 race. Baylor, Texas Tech are all 3-1. KU and West Virginia are 2-1. You have five teams with a half a game of one another. I know it's early, but Kansas, if you want to stay up with everybody, you can't afford to lose a game at home to West Virginia, can you? It doesn't seem like that'd be a good idea. But I think KU is vulnerable because they're not – McCormick isn't playing well. They're not getting a lot out of the five spot. Remy Martin's banged up, and that puts a lot of pressure on Brown and Harris and Obagi. And they pulled one out of the fire against Iowa State the other day and didn't play great. I would be a little bit worried. And, you know, I think about eventually you break through. West Virginia's had so many games where they played KU pretty well in Allen Fieldhouse, and they blew a 14-point lead a few years back with 2.5 minutes to go. And they've had weird things happen to them where they get guys in foul trouble or they take bad shots, turn the ball over, miss free throws. West Virginia usually has a chance to win in Lawrence. I expect them to have a chance again tomorrow. And at some point, isn't Bob Huggins going to break through and win at Allen Fieldhouse? You would think he might. I think he's got a chance coming up tomorrow. I really do.
Yeah, it's not a game that is just like, yeah, KU's going to win. Let's move on with life. They're going to have to go out and play, and I think KU's going to win it, but I do think that they're in for a better game than what most people might think and understand and realize coming into it.
Yep, I think you're right on that. Number 19, Texas Tech goes to Manhattan. Just perfect recipe for K-State.
Yeah,
right?
Terrence Shannon's coming back tomorrow, too, so that's even better.
Even better. Even better. 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. How many fans will be at Bramlage at 11 a.m.?
They'll be lucky to get 2,000 to 3,000.
They had 5,000 the other night when they lost to TCU.
There was not 5,000 people there. Everything I've heard from everybody.
No, there wasn't.
That was their counted attendance that they always do that's never really quite accurate.
This is a bad recipe for K-State, no doubt. Texas Tech comes in. Maybe they'll overlook them. I mean, K-State, opportunity, you know, get a win over a ranked team and turn the season around. But K-State's 8-7 overall, 0-4 in the Big 12. They could have easily won 3 of the 4. They blew it the other night against TCU. There's no other way to explain it. Texas Tech ranked 19th. They're on a roll. They beat Oklahoma State by 21 last night. I guess you got the short turnaround, I guess, for Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they beat KU and they beat Baylor, so they're playing great ball. Maybe playing the best ball of anybody in the country right now. And here's Bruce Weber on the matchup against Tech.
We got to hang together. We got to believe, and got a really good team coming here on Saturday, and they're not going to care that we lost or not. They're coming. They're probably the best warriors in the country. That's why he's playing hard. So we're going to have to stand up and compete against them.
That is Texas Tech at K-State, 11 a.m. tomorrow on ESPN2. Texas, Iowa State at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Oklahoma at TCU at 3 o'clock. Oklahoma State at Baylor at 4 o'clock. As we mentioned, West Virginia at KU, 1 o'clock. Pregame at 12:30 tomorrow on Z96.3 The Lake. Wichita State Shockers back in action. They're really getting to a point where, this is a must-win. I hate to say must-win when you only play three conference games, but the Shockers are 9-6, 0-3, and they're at home. They play Cincinnati, who's 12-5 and 2-2 in conference. Now, they were without two starters the other night at Wichita State, so if they're still without starters, it's going to be tough. It's on ESPN coming up Sunday, not tomorrow, but Sunday at noon, Shockers hosting Cincinnati. And we finish with women's basketball. The K-State women are 13-3, ranked 25th in the country. They'll probably fall out of the rankings. Their three losses are to three top 10 teams. Number one, South Carolina. Number five, NC State at the time. And number nine, Iowa State on a lucky bank three-pointer the other night on Tuesday. K-State women are 13-3, 3-1 in the Big 12. At Texas Tech, they should win tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Texas Tech 8-7, 1-3. We talk about the K-State women and the season they're having, but what about the Kansas women's basketball program? They upset number 13 Texas on Wednesday night. That was the Jayhawks' second road win of the week. KU now 2-1 in Big 12 women's conference play. To put the week in perspective, Brandon Schneider, the head coach of KU, Brandon Schneider's women's basketball program at Kansas had recorded two Big 12 road wins total the last three seasons combined, and they got two in the span of 6 days. Beyond that, the Jayhawks had won just three total conference games away from Allen Fieldhouse the last 6 years. KU women are 11-2. Their only losses are to ranked teams, number 5 Tennessee and number 23 Oklahoma. They can match its 6th season total of conference road wins when it heads back to enemy territory Wednesday. Guess where they go? Manhattan.
Kansas State. Yeah.
Kansas State. Students, you better support K-State women. You get free admission to the game.
Free pizza.
Free pizza.
Let's go.
And you get a free T-shirt.
Free T-shirt.
Saying beat KU.
You beat KU all around campus. And
absolutely.
To the game. And,
yeah. Is there a better deal in college basketball than that?
There's not.
I'm not going to lie to you. I saw that. I saw what times? Oh, Wednesday. I could go to that game. I could get free pizza. I saw free admission.
And then you saw students.
And then I saw students.
I did the same thing.
Dang it.
I was like, it's a long week, but I'm free Wednesday
yes,
night.
Yes.
I could go.
You and I could have carpooled over
free
there.
Free pizza.
We still
free admission.
Could. But
students.
I want a free pizza just for students. That's discrimination. That's what I say. I'm filing a lawsuit. I'm not happy. That's what America does, right? Not happy, file lawsuits, something like that. I don't know. Let's see if there's anything else. Oh, yeah, Novak Djokovic's visa has been canceled again by the Australian minister, so who knows if he's going to play an Australian Open. You talk about a crazy soap opera. We don't have time to get into that. There's a lot of politics involved with that.
Yeah, that's all politics.
No doubt about it. All right, give people a broadcast schedule again for today.
Yeah, again, today we'll get things started. The Northern Plains League tournament play-in game, about 1:50 pregame tip-off at 2 o'clock. Lakeside and Rock Hills boys from Lincoln High School there. That'll be the one game from the NPL tournament today. And then coming up later tonight, we have pregame at 5:50, tip-off at 6 for the girls' varsity, boys to follow. Beloit at Minneapolis on ntksports.com online video stream as well, the Beloit Trojan channel, again on Katy Country 94 tonight, about 5:50 with pregame. So stay tuned for all that. You know, always the latest schedule can be found at ntksports.com.
Absolutely. Enjoy your weekend, everyone.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.